Love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Well, we're a week late, but happy Halloween. We forgot to wish that for you guys last week. So to make up for it, you know what? We're going to do something creepy, scary, spooky. None of those things, really, because Chucky has become more like camp. And whoops, I spoiled what it is. It's Chucky.
Yay.
This time we're covering the revival of the original series. Last year, right?
It was actually June 2019.
Over 2 years ago at this point.
Yep.
I can't believe it. 2 years ago, we covered the reboot Child's Play.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're just going to kick it off and we'll talk about it because we had opinions and stuff. And I think those influence what we were to come to expect for this revival of this series. So let's just get right into it. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast about unoriginality.
As usual, by request, we are joined by Eddie Z, who has been throwing me shade that I don't introduce him properly.
Yeah, you don't.
So, welcome, Eddie Z. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I guess it's only fair that we do introduce you because you were out for like 3 weeks because of work reasons, so...
He's back from the plague.
I'm back like Chucky.
Yes, you are. Do you want to just get right into it, Nicole?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is going to be the first time we're doing this, right? This is uncharted territory for us, which is only necessary that we get to reboot one of our own episodes.
Right, basically. We're rewriting, I guess. We're flipping that script, I guess, a little. Which is interesting because it's going to be the first of two times that we know we're going to do this. This month alone.
Yeah, this month alone we're doing this twice, but we're also, next March, something huge is coming out that we're inevitably going to have to talk about.
So. Oh, wait. Well, spoiler for you, what is it?
It's Batman.
Oh, duh.
Like, we can't not talk about that Batman.
Right, so. Of course. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, see? So, that's so crazy. We've only been doing this podcast for... 3 years and we're already
yeah, we're starting
stuff.
To reboot our own stuff.
Yeah, so wild.
These episodes I think are going to be really fun too, because instead of going deep dive, we've already done that, right? So we're just kind of pick up where we left off,
more or less,
right? The June 2019 episode, we covered just Child's Play 1988 and then the 2019 reboot that had nothing to do with the creator of Child's Play, right? And this is where the big difference is, because this 2021 series has everything to do with the creator of the original Child's Play, which is Don Mancini.
Yes.
Don Mancini, not only was he involved since the very first Child's Play, he's written every single Chucky property since.
Yes, with the exception of the remake.
Yeah, the reboot he was not involved with at all, or the remake. I should say the remake, because I don't know if there's going to be... a whole new franchise there. So we'll just say it's a remake film, even though it's a very different film. So technically it's a reboot, but you know, all of these terminologies. So.
Yeah.
At least it's not a retcon.
Right. Correct. This is actually more or less a continuation of the Chucky series.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, Don Mancini, he's a huge horror movie fan, or just a horror genre in general. And he made Child's Play actually based off of, you know, inspirations like Talking Tina episode of The Twilight Zone. Have you guys ever seen that?
We've talked about it.
Yes, we did talk. Well, we're refreshing people's memories this episode.
Well, yes.
If you haven't heard to the other one. Yeah.
Yes, I have seen the Talking Tina episode. I think I saw it when we were rewatching The Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's great. It's one of the darkest episodes they have. It's like really messed up. And he was like, oh yeah. And they never made a movie in the age of animatronics, you know, in the 80s with a killer doll. So he made it. So he wrote Child's Play, Child's Play 2, Child's Play 3, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, and Curse of Chucky.
And Cult of
and
Chucky.
And Cult of Chucky, yes, thank you very much. And he directed those last three. So he directed Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, Cult of Chucky. So it's pretty crazy because, you know, John Carpenter made the first Halloween and then the second, but then he stepped away from it, right? Wes Craven was involved with a lot of the nightmares. But you never see, like, the writer always involved. This is, like, a very unique thing.
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, it's, like, synonymous with Don Mancini.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredibly passionate about it, and he was incredibly offended with the reboot when it came out. He was very outspoken, and he did not, he just didn't jive with it. You know, he was not happy that, you know, MGM was going off and doing its own thing, you know, because as far as
and that's,
it was his.
Well, it's interesting too, because that Child's Play is very much its own thing. One of the biggest things that we said, spoiler alert for that episode, is that this film doesn't even need to be a Chucky film. It, like, had such a unique plot and reworking of it that it just made Chucky be kind of like its, you know, its image or its spokesperson. Mm-hmm. But really it was its own story.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he was so enraged by. Possibly. But, you know, that also sounds a little egomaniacal, because in this day and age, it's like, at the end of the day, for Hollywood, you are just a writer. Like, you know.
Yeah. Relax. He's a writer-director.
Now he's a writer-director, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. He's like, how dare you make Chucky without me? Like, I kind of love that, but I'm also like, it's okay, know. Dude. Relax.
Part of me respects that. I gravitate towards a creator who wants full control. It's his vision. You know what I mean? This is his creation, his character. He wants to steer this ship the direction he wants to go to. And as a result, I actually think that's probably why the Chucky series has had this longevity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't think you can say that about Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, we know Freddy Krueger, but, like, the movies themselves have all been kind of just, like, forgettable. We know the character, but, you know, how many good, you know, Freddy Krueger movies are there? How many good Jason Voorhees movies are there? And I don't think
that's
that
all very subjective, but I mean,
this is true. Like, I guess for horror fans, but I guess for me, you know, getting right into it, I actually happen to like some of the newer Chucky films. Specifically, I mean, honestly, Seed of Chucky is, for some reason, one that, like, I actually do enjoy. Not as, like, a good film, but there's just something there that, like, makes it so rewatchable. And
yeah,
the plot is absolutely bonkers and stuff, you know. So, and I personally, and then the other thing about it is, like, the queer identity that's so prominent in that movie is just, like, I don't know. Maybe for me, that was one of the first times, like, as a teenager, seeing, I guess, queer being so central to the plot for a horror movie that I had seen, I guess. And this was, you know, like,
Seed of Chucky, correct?
Seed of Chucky, yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, 2004. Not so much happening in that department, so for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Continue. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I just wanted to.
No, that's, I mean, so for those of you who don't know, in Seed of Chucky, that's a sequel to The Bride of Chucky, where the Bride of Chucky, Tiff, had, at the end of The Bride of Chucky, the doll herself gave birth to a doll. Right. And the doll is the seed of Chucky. And he is actually, Glenn starts off as a he. Glenn is not sure whether or not he wants to be a boy or he wants to be a girl. And he kind of has a split personality. Right. And Chucky is, I don't know if he's not. I don't think he had any. If I remember correctly, he didn't have any issues with the fact that Glenda was gender neutral, right? He was more taking issue with the fact that Glenda didn't want to be a murderer. That's what he was more upset about. but Don Mancini, he's been on record to say that, like, the reason this movie, the inspiration for this movie was actually, like, his raw relationship with his father. When he was coming out of the closet too, because Don Mancini is gay.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah,
he's one of the few gay out horror filmmakers and stuff out there and stuff.
Yeah. And gay plus horror, I think, is a winning combination. And, you know, it's interesting because the character's name is Glenda. You know, for movie fans like me, that's actually a reference to a really obscure 1950s B movie called Glenn or Glenda by Ed Wood. Have you ever heard of Ed Wood or Edward Wood Jr.?
Yes.
He's one of the worst filmmakers, quote, worst filmmakers of all time. And he himself actually enjoyed dressing up in women's clothes. Mm-hmm. He actually didn't identify openly, at least, as gay, but he enjoyed dressing up as a woman, and he made a film about that.
Dressing up as a woman doesn't necessarily make you gay. So
it does not.
Right.
So, but it was interesting because Don Mancini also was like, oh, I want to make a film, you know, exploring that. And I also want to make a horror comedy because he very much put Chucky Warrior into the horror comedy realm instead of just pure horror, and start to explore LGBT related issues in these movies. Right. So he started this all the way back in 2004.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, is very much front and center with this new reiteration of Chucky.
For sure. Have you gotten a chance to see any of those Bride or Seed?
Oh, the movies?
Yeah.
I have not rewatched them recently, no.
Okay, I mean, Bride of Chucky is another good one, right? This is where they get bonkers, right? Because we have Jennifer Tilly. Mm-hmm. She plays Tiff in Bride of Chucky. But in Seed of Chucky, Jennifer Tilly returns both as the voice of Tiff, but also as Jennifer Tilly in this universe, right? And yeah. Tiff wants to, like, absorb her body, transfer her body from the doll to Jennifer Tilly. It's kind of confusing. And
it's very meta.
It is very meta. And it breaks the fourth wall. A lot of it. One of my favorite scenes.
It's very self-aware, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite scenes, though, is when Chucky kills Britney Spears. And I think after he kills her, he's like, oops, I did it again. You know, in that, what's the name? Brad Dourif?
Brad Dourif, yeah.
Brad Dourif. I mean, Brad Dourif as Chucky. I think we made that comparison, right? Like, who was the better Chucky? Is it Mark Hamill or is it Brad Dourif? And I don't remember. Were we Brad Dourif?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Mark Hamill did what he could with his character, but Brad Dourif is still Brad Dourif.
True. And now every time I hear Mark Hamill, I just hear the Joker.
That's also true.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. I mean, I don't think he can get away from that. Even as Luke Skywalker, all I could hear was the Joker in the new Star Wars. You know?
Look at that. Yeah. And when he did the Skeksi in the Dark Crystal, I heard the Joker. So
That's another one.
But anyway.
Yeah. The Chucky, I'm glad that you also brought up the fact that, like, it's not just horror anymore. Like, I think Bride of Chucky is when we went into that horror comedy realm. And I think Don Mancini planted the series in that category. It no longer was just horror, despite the fact that the first three, you know, were much more mainstream horror films. I have vivid memories of the third one because the third one stars, it wasn't the first Andy. It was like they cast a new guy to make him a little older. And he's like in a military camp at the beginning of it. And then for some reason at the end, we end up at a carnival. Death ensues in the House of Mirrors, if I remember correctly and stuff. And there's just a lot happening. I mean, Chucky, but I guess it was in the ones where Dom and Cena start taking over. Like, Chucky kind of doesn't want to be human anymore. He just wants to be a doll because as a doll, you know, no one suspects
a
doll.
So much more, yeah.
You know, yeah. When the kid starts crying, it's just like, the doll is killing people. Who's going to believe him and stuff? So,
yeah,
that is it. How much of the Chucky series have you seen?
The new one?
No, the movies.
Oh, I only saw Child's Play and Bride of Chucky. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Child's Play 2, but because I didn't get a chance to rewatch it, I can't even, like, really recall most of it. So I'm going to say just Child's Play and Bride of Chucky.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
And, of course, the new one.
And, of course, well, now the series, right? So do you want to just get right into the series? Anyone Let's else got it. Any other thoughts on the movies before we go on? No? All right, fine. Then let's get right into the TV show.
It's contagious, isn't it? Laughing at people. Well, guess what, dickheads? Now the joke's on you! Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end.
What did you do?
Mommy says real killing is bad.
Yeah, well, mommy's full of shit.
Let's talk about the TV show. So Eddie and I actually had the honor of watching the pilot at Comic-Con. And when I tell you, the screening was packed with Chucky fans. I'm not like exaggerating. Like, I was shocked to see how many people were still, you know, gaga for Chucky. And it was one of the sold out panels of this year's Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con, right?
New York Comic-Con, yeah. And at the end, Jennifer Tilly comes out to do the Q&A. She's all excited to be back in the series. I'm excited to see her. It was a lot of emotions going
on. You know? Aww.
Jennifer Tilly has such a distinct voice.
Yeah, she does. She's got the best voice. Yeah. Were people like losing their shit?
Oh, yeah, no, that pilot, people were going crazy for it during the screening. And I remember me and Eddie kept looking at the circuit. They're like, is this series, this is the way the series is going to go. This is an interesting choice for this series. Yeah. And that's soon afterwards, I learned that Don Mancini was gay and that, you know, sexuality is very much important in these Chucky series. So here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they are about, you know, and Bride and stuff. It's all about like these interpersonal relationships. So,
do you want to give us the plot of the pilot series, of the pilot at least, and the setup for the series?
Yeah. So this all takes place in Hackensack, you know, which has a dark history to it that we've learned right away. You know, that everyone who lives in Hackensack swears that this place is cursed.
Yeah.
And Jake Wheeler's a 14-year-old boy. He's really interested in art. He's raised by his father, who is alcoholic and quite depressed, but he turns to aggression to deal with this. So his father does not accept Jake for who he is, which is an artist, but also something that they don't really talk about is that Jake is gay, right? Mm-hmm. It's very much the elephant in the room. And Jake is also very unpopular in school and bullied. So he's got, you know, the worst life. But because he's interested in art, he makes these really creative sculptures from refragmented pieces from dolls, right? So so one day he's at a yard sale, mm-hmm. and Chucky's there. And it, you know, they also intimate the fact that Chucky just kind of shows up and puts himself there to be taken by someone, and he gets into Jake's life. And you see, actually, because Jake's life is so shitty and he's kind of like this kid who's been dealt an unlucky hand, that Chucky himself takes pity on Jake, mm-hmm. and actually starts to grow fond towards him. And then Chucky starts to become his defender. But of course, when you have, you know, a serial killer living in the body of a doll and they befriend you and they want to help you, that can become quite violent. So yeah. That's what I'll say there. I don't want to give too much away, you know, because of course people start dying pretty quickly, mm-hmm. and you know, bad things start happening, and Jake's life starts to quickly spin out of control, mm-hmm. and Don Mancini himself calls this a coming of rage story, which is really it's actually really well put, because one, a coming of rage story is the story of a child to adult, but also this is a story about violence being brought into this man's life, into this boy's life, mm-hmm. not even man's life, and helping him, you know, deal with all of the issues that arise with being gay in an unaccepting environment. Mm. So it tackles so many themes with it, you know, bullying, mm-hmm. anti-gay, house, you know, life at home issues. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. But yeah. So it's pretty heavy from the word go.
Yeah, I would agree with you, right? And I think one of the interesting things about the show that I myself cannot necessarily relate to, but I wish I could, is kind of, we're in a new era, right? Where now kids nowadays, like, they are out of the closet a lot earlier, and this kid is out of the closet. With that, there are repercussions that we, you know, that we face here. And this is an experience that this kid doesn't have, where my bullying that I experienced growing up was more because I was in the closet, and I was also, I had a very effeminate voice because, I, you know, puberty just didn't, like, those hormones never reached, you know, they leveled out until college for me. And I was also overweight and stuff. So I was just like a walking target for being bullied and stuff. You know what I mean? This kid chooses to live out, or at least to be out, and like he's facing this hostility towards him that's almost tragic in a way, because like we obviously we want to believe that like we're in a much better world than when we were growing up. And then we still see it's just like, not necessarily the case. And I think one of the things that Chucky here, this is a revenge fantasy that I think maybe a lot of closeted people kind of have fantasized about at times growing up and being bullied and stuff.
But the thing here too is not, the anger is not, because there are other gay kids in the school that are openly gay. And I don't remember him being bullied because he's gay. Well, I think he's being more bullied because he's poor.
I mean, that's also true. Yeah. This
it
is...
seems to be like the GoFundMe that was set up for him. You know, because he's poor and he definitely looks, how do you say that? He's kind of like a target, because the sense of like him being out of place, feeling out of place among that population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he also makes art out of dolls, which is a little creepy.
I actually
just a little like just at the idea of it, right? Uh-huh. So he makes art. He's poor. He's very kind of like to himself.
Yeah,
and kids just make fun of things they don't understand at the end of the day.
Agree.
So you put all of these things together, and yeah, that's why he has a really unfair hand, this kid, Jake.
I actually liked the art piece that he was working on, to be honest.
I liked it too, but also when you look at it, it takes you aback, you know?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very like kind of abrasive, you know, which is why it would be successful had his father not broken it.
So. Right, no, for sure. I was so mad at his dad. When
yeah, that was
happened.
Fucked up.
And by the way, yeah, you mentioned Hackensack. We're talking Hackensack, New Jersey. You are aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's like, that was like, what?
I grew up like three towns away.
Yeah,
from
but to say, like,
so.
You were close by. I wasn't that far from it. I don't know what version of Hackensack Hollywood thinks this is, but this is not the Hackensack that I know.
Seriously.
I know that.
Did you also
of-
know that the town in Halloween is actually a town in New Jersey?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. that's so funny. Oh, I guess New Jersey and horror. New Jersey. Go hand in hand. I was wondering if the reason they picked Hackensack, though, is because here's a fun fact. The original actor who played Andy, he went to
Hackensack
High School. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
So I wonder if that was like a little homage to him, because as far as the series is concerned, he's still alive.
Yeah, he's in the cast.
Yeah, I think he... Yeah, he's in the recurring cast.
He's
so yeah.
Oh, so he's going to show up. I haven't seen any episodes with him just yet, so I'm excited to see Andy return.
Yeah, I haven't either. They're all going to show up at some point.
I can't wait for Jennifer Tilly to show up. Yeah, because she showed up in the trailer. I was just like, now I have to see what Jennifer Tilly's going to do.
Yeah. And also a character named Nika Pierce, who has been possessed by Chucky since the events of Cult of Chucky, will be in
it. Oh, right. Yeah, that happened in the Cult of Chucky. She was...
Yeah.
She's been in the series since, I think, The Curse of Chucky.
Yep.
So, look at that. I mean, yeah, apparently this series has a rich legacy, guys. And, you know, Don Mancini's just... He's giving the people, the fans of this series, what they want. And for people who aren't necessarily fans of this series, like, I would say me, because I kind of fell off of the series a little, he's giving me something new to kind of look forward to. And that, for me, was a kind of this queer kid... being taught like, oh my god, let's go murder, and like kind of the moral dilemma that now he finds himself in, because I'm just like, well, on some level, like, you're being very, very harshly bullied, especially by like the girl Lexi, so I'm not saying I condone it, but I'm also not saying that I'm like, I don't approve, you know what I mean? It's just like, if I were on a jury, I would be like, I don't know, like, did Lexi deserve it a little? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Something's wrong in the waters of Hackensack too, because that whole scene at the talent show where she's just up there and then she's targeting this kid and none of the adults say anything.
Yeah.
He goes up with his doll and rips her to shreds and they start laughing, and only after like a full set are they like, let's get him off stage. Just terrible adults all around in this series.
I mean,
which isn't, I don't know if that's something that's in every movie too, where it's just like this whole commentary on people and how people might get ruined, but that's something that I feel like is happening, because
possibly, I mean, a lot of the people in this show sucks. Even the one good person, the dad played by Devin Sawa, he's kind of a dick still at the end of the day, because he's like really pressuring his son to be like this perfect athlete at the expense of his son's
Yeah, the brother, not Jake's dad.
Oh no, not Jake's dad. Jake's dad is also a piece of shit. But yeah. Oh wait, just to confirm, was that also Devin Sawa?
They were both Devin Sawa.
He was playing both. Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
I didn't even know it was Devin Sawa until I looked up the cast. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, he's changed. I actually think he's looking good, to be honest.
He looks good. He just looks nothing like who I know Devin Sawa to be. Mm-hmm. The curse of being a young actor, honestly, is that people will forever look at you.
But no, same reaction that you like have was one that Eddie had. And I'm like, that's Devin Sawa from Final Destination.
Well, for me, it's Devin Sawa from Little Giants and Casper. Oh, so I'm just like, Casper. Oh my god, that's Devin Sawa.
I forgot he was in Casper. That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, what did you think of the acting in the show? I just kind of want to tackle this because this is actually one of my complaints of the show, which, you know, I don't have too many.
Yeah,
but I want to hear your thoughts first.
I actually don't think the acting from the kids is that good.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's the child actors, but. I don't know. This is an interesting choice for this show. They're going also making sure that these kids look like kids, though. They're not like Riverdale high school students, right? No one has like ripped abs. No one is like looking smoking hot. They all look, I think, I mean, it feels at times like I was watching either like Kids, like that movie.
Kids.
I think Gus
the heroin
Van Sant,
movie.
Is it heroin?
Is it like the crazy drug movie? It's not Gus Van Sant.
I thought it was Gus Van Sant.
That's Hermione Corrin.
Maybe Kids is the one with it's Rosario Dawson is in it, right?
Yeah,
that one.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah,
that's what because you know those kids looked really their age and stuff. I mean, they were doing horrific things, right? In this movie, they're just being complete assholes. But you know, obviously, I think that's an intentional decision here by the creative team because just like I'm not. Obviously, I can't root for Lexi to be murdered, but like if she looked like one of the character, like one of the actresses on the CW shows, it'd be like, okay, yeah, obviously it's not like a teenager that I'm rooting for to get killed here. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think they do that on purpose to kind of make some of these scenes feel even ickier.
Okay,
in my opinion, but I would agree the acting is not the best on this show, and it's a little it's a little bit of a shame, but.
It is because it's campy, right? You know, so it doesn't, the acting doesn't need to like tug at my heart. But at the same time, for a character like Jake, which I feel like I'm supposed to be building this, you know, emotional bond with, or, you know, I'm feeling strong emotions for this character. And I actually, to the point where I want Chucky to come to his aid and do the things that Chucky does, then I need him to be a little bit better of an actor. Or else it's just like, you know. Me watching Chucky do crazy shit.
Yeah.
Which is also fun, but that's not what it seems to be going for. But it's interesting too, because you want it. So like you said, it's a revenge fantasy. So you want Chucky to come to the aid and like pretty much like, you know, kill all these bastards and go home. But at the same time also, like, do you want that? Like, what's the commentary we're trying to make here about bullying? The only way to target bullying is by more bullying.
Right.
Or so it's like an interesting thing that because like that whole scene with the talent show, too, is like kind of like the perfect scene to kind of discuss this issue with where it's like, OK, if we're addressing these issues, then what is the show trying to say is the way to address it? Or what is it? What is it saying people should do? Or what is it putting at the forefront? It's like it's really interesting because I'm trying to think about it and I'm like, I don't know if. Is that what the show's telling me? More bullying takes care of bullying or, you know, just revenge on your enemies?
I think ultimately the problem with, I think what the message here is becoming more and more is just like ultimately bullying, if not treated, if not handled, it just like ends up getting worse and worse and worse to the point where you create monsters and someone could die, right? I don't think. And the reason I say that is only because like what we're watching as the series is progressing is like kind of the bullying has gone, they're kind of one upping each other, right? Lexi bullied this kid, so then he had the stand up show. It wasn't obviously Jake who was responsible for it, but what does she do now as a result? She decides to imitate his dad in like this awful Halloween scene, getting electrocuted, and it's just like, I mean. I remember when I saw that scene, I'm just like, wow, like, it's just like, that's so heartless. And like, it's just so, and the fucked up thing, because of social media, that just makes it worse. And like, we're also seeing like how social media plays a role into the bullying. But yeah, like, and I think that's part of it, right? Like, bullying just begets more bullying that ultimately, if left untreated, can result in someone dying. Obviously, it's not going to be a killer doll. It's going to be, I think, something much more tragic. It could be a school shooting. It could be just a straight up just a homicide. You know what I mean? And yeah, we're watching, obviously, like, this is all obviously heightened up to like 11. But I think on some level, like, this is kind of what we're watching. And it's interesting that we're watching it through the lens of Chucky, which is what I was more surprised by. Right. Like, it's just like, huh, yeah. Like, this is shockingly, there's a little poignancy here that I just wasn't necessarily expecting for a Chucky series.
Even though Chucky also abuses Jake.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like, Chucky, we know he's not a hero because he's abusive still. He's still kind of, yeah. He's still a homicidal maniac.
It's not just targeted at other people. Yeah. You know, he's very much conditioning Jake.
Mm-hmm. Which so is something speak. That, I mean, Chucky did that with Andy. You know what I mean? Like, Chucky mm-hmm. was making Andy believe that he's his only friend. And that's why Andy let Chucky murder, so you know, blow up that like crack den.
Yeah. you know. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, we know that Chucky has those predator like tendencies. You know.
Because one of the things we also get from the show is flashbacks to mm-hmm. the Charles character, that the, you know, the kid version of who grows up to be a serial killer and then gets his body put in this good guy doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of, I mean, that's the thing too. It's a horror comedy and it goes there, you know, there are mm-hmm. some deaths there that literally made me go, oh. that were just so, and there are moments that I'm like, shocked, you know, which is also really effective because mm-hmm. these days it's hard for, you know, you've seen so many things that it's hard for you to kind of get a reaction. This got reactions out of me,
yeah.
Which I think is one of the best things. But, you know, so there's a lot of good stuff in this, but then there's just things that, you know, one are worth talking about, like this whole idea of what it's trying to say about bullying. But then it's also like the stylization of this show, which I don't know how much of it is Don Mancini or how much of it we saw in some of his other films, or maybe, you know, pressures from the network, but like, there's so much music and like stuff happening to music that where it becomes a little music video-y that I was just, it took me out and I was not personally a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I mean when I say stylization. I think that those moments were not effective. And like, for me, it's one of those things that is, if done excessively, it can very much distract me and take me out of the show.
Right.
So I was wondering if there were any things with the way that this was shot that did that for you, because that did it for me a couple of times, especially in the first episode, which is kind of a bummer because mm-hmm. I was like rolling my eyes. I was like, oh my God, here we fucking go again with the music.
Right. So I think for me, that is more so actually, to be honest, it's kind of the serial format is kind of for me where I'm kind of, I think the pilot was great. By the other two episodes, I'm kind of losing a little bit of steam on the gimmick of having a Chucky TV show. And it makes me wonder, it's just like, maybe this is one of those things where I didn't need to have a series. Maybe this is one of those things where I'd kind of, maybe a movie, this would have been fine for a movie, maybe sort of. But at the same time, though, I don't know. I'm kind of like torn on that one, right? Because like, I think for me, it's just like the fact that it's just like, we're giving a lot of time to develop some of these characters that maybe we don't need to develop. Like, we don't, I don't know if I need to develop Jake's love interest here, right? Like, I get he's
okay,
the podcaster,
yeah. I don't know,
you disagree? Podcaster?
Well, because maybe he needs to step up, because if he's a true prime podcaster, he should be what's it called? Oh, well, I guess maybe they are setting that up.
They are doing a slow burn with this, because we, in the last episode, we discovered that he is taping the conversations mm-hmm. he has with Jake.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Too. You're right. So I guess there's going to be a little bit of a reveal there. So,
which is it's like, once again, too. It's like you always have to watch what you say and what you do, because you don't know who's taping you or who's recording you.
Seriously.
And then here is, you think Devon seems so sincere on how much he cares for Jake. You know, like always this concerned face. But it almost gives me like this feeling of like Devon has
ulterior motives. Okay, I mean, yeah, yes, we know this is true. Like, and then he's also the son of the detective By the way, bad police work all around here in Hackensack. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny too because Hackensack is portrayed as this murder capital. You know, like the high percentage of people getting hurt or killed, is improbability high. It's ridiculously high.
It's like Riverdale status, you know. Nicole, you live close to Hackensack. Was it the murder capital of the world?
Well, it's the county seat of Bergen County.
Right. I forgot it is. That's where the county court is, right?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. So yeah, it was the murder capital of at least the county. Yeah. So, I mean, the slow burn, I think, is effective. I think that I actually like getting to know, and I like things taking their time. It's just these weird stylization things. And again, I don't know if it's pressures from the network or anything that bother me actually more than the fact that this is told over 6 episodes. It's only going to be 6 episodes, correct?
Oh, I honestly don't. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head. 6 episodes that's a good amount then, I would say.
Okay.
Keep it short.
The other thing with these TV series too is that, you know, you can't have one person write and direct all of them. That's just too much to do. Mm-hmm. So after a couple episodes, not only are they not directed by Don Mancini, but they're not written by him. Mm-hmm. And I think that change too also is something that you could feel the change.
10 episodes.
10 episodes?
It's going to be 10. Okay. 10. Okay, cool.
That seems to be the new number that like cable networks like for TV shows and
you
stuff.
Know, that's great. British television, they stick to a really tight like 6 to 10 episode season.
Oh,
and then they
don't
let their shows go longer.
I've seen series
now, of course, British this isn't for every episodes, show, of course. You know? Yeah, some are 3 episodes. So, but that's it. Like they want to focus on the story they want to tell. Whereas for a long time, American shows were just like, just keep turning mm-hmm. out. And then that's when, you know, these plot lines would get ludicrous. So I'm glad that shows have stopped doing that mm-hmm. and focused on actual story arcs that they want to tell over a couple of shorter series.
Right.
So that has nothing to do with Chucky. That's just me saying, way to go, America.
Good job, Don Mancini. He's the executive producer, right? He's a showrunner for the show, though.
So he is, yes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he is still, like, even though he's not directing the episodes, he still has, he's making sure that everything has like a unified voice and stuff. He's overseeing the storyline, the plot, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Even if he's not directing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we got like other characters too taken out from the world, you know, as fast as that first episode, like when he was on the phone call with Andy, you know, and Andy was the one who was like, yeah, your doll's possessed and you should get rid of it.
Oh my God. Wait, was that Andy?
That was Andy.
It never occurred to me that it was Andy.
It was just some guy who was like, that's a possessed doll.
I was in the pilot screening when I saw that episode. It never occurred to me that Andy's going to be coming back. It's got to be him.
So he must have, I guess Chucky went viral and mm-hmm. Andy must have seen the video and then called Jake and was like, get rid of it.
He was, last we know of Andy, was it, he was in a Cult of Chucky or, yeah, I think Cult of Chucky was the last one where he's in a mental institute, but he wasn't supposed to be there. He just got locked in there by accident because of the other lady. She escaped. So maybe I guess he found his way out. I guess it's an easy thing. It's just like, obviously I'm not supposed to be here. Look at your records. It's 2017, you know?
Yeah. So the big thing that we haven't talked about yet that we have to talk about is Chucky in this one.
What
are our thoughts of this version of Chucky?
Are we talking Chucky like the animatronic? Are we talking Chucky visually? Okay.
Let's talk about Chucky himself.
Visually, I actually like they're using a little bit of puppetry at mm-hmm. times. They're using a little bit of CGI when they need to. And there's also sometimes a person in a costume running around as Chucky.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. There's something so endearing about seeing either a child or a little person in a Chucky mm-hmm. costume just running around.
You know it's just I mean? Better when it's not completely visual effects and it's actually something more tangible.
So that, like, much
you
better.
Know they did. Yeah. That's the one thing throughout this podcast that we've come to realize too, is that if you take that approach, you're just going to be 100% more successful.
Yeah. Cause I think, so actually some of the more effective scenes for me are Chucky with the, with the girl who I think is on the spectrum, Lexi's sister. And that's because part of it is she has actual something physical to interact with. And it gives those scenes a little bit more weight. Even when this kid is holding Chucky, like Jake, it just like having something there, it gives you, it gives the actor something to react to and stuff. So I think visually those work. I don't know. Chucky is, so that's like visually Chucky. Character Chucky, I don't know how I feel about Chucky, like kind of trying to be a father figure. I don't know. It's a little warped. But
well, yeah,
I don't know, like when he's talking to, I mean, one of the funniest things that kind of became a gif, you know, to Twitter was when Chucky is explaining, like, oh, you know, I have a queer kid. He's like, and you accept him? It's like, I'm not a monster, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have a queer kid.
You have a kid.
Gender fluid.
And You're cool with it.
I'm not a monster, Jake.
No, you are. You killed Annie.
It's just, I mean, talk about what a stab to all those homophobes out there, right? Like, even Chucky is better than you guys.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm digging Brad Dourif's performance here. They're kind of going, he's making puns and stuff when he's trying to kill people and stuff, and he's kind of being a dick. So yeah, I like it. I'm appreciating it. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. I think Chucky's just the perfect psychopath. You know, he kills Jake's father only to step into his shoes. Mm-hmm. Cause Jake's dad, yeah, he was an abuser. You know, he was an alcoholic and he wasn't very accepting of his son. But then Chucky's like, son of a bitch, I'll kill you. You suck. But then he just starts conditioning and brainwashing Jake, you know, and trying to turn him into pretty much himself. So he's such a dynamic villain, you know, because there are things that he has morals about and there are things that he won't do. But he's also a liar and a manipulator and just a downright psychopath. And it's all just kind of like his own warped view of things and ways, things that work for him. So he's just way more dynamic than most of these other franchise serial killers, because one, he talks, but two, like, he's actually a really good example of what is a psychopath. You know, if people actually wanted to see a good example and fall in love with that. People love Chucky.
People do love Chucky, yeah.
But it's interesting too, because visually, he doesn't look one as like this guy has been in this body for how many fucking years and this doll still looks fresh, but it doesn't look the same. I don't know. Visually it was so to me jarringly different that I felt like it was almost like, at first I was like, wait, is this a reboot? Like, I almost had that conversation with myself, like, what is going on? Because visually he was just so different. And to me, that it had effect on, like, wait, what am I watching again? What is this? Is this just a continuation or is this a reboot?
Right. Well, the Chucky doll, I feel like, does always go through a little bit of changes. But also, canonically speaking, like, it's never the same doll. Like, this is not the same doll that was in the Andy movie, the first one, right? Because that one got burnt.
And yeah, he finds new homes. Yeah.
In the second one, like, he got melted down into more plastic and then he got remade. You know,
but it's the same. It's not like the same exact doll, but it's the same Chucky doll.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, I guess. But like, I guess Barbie doesn't look the same from like the 1950s to now. Right. Like
still making this good guy doll?
Well, like that is the question. Right. I think they stopped making the good guy dolls around Chucky 3 when the owner was murdered by Chucky himself. I don't know, the owner of the company. So I think these dolls might be collector's items. But I think there were three different versions of the Chucky doll in Cult of Chucky, because spoiler, Charles can now possess multiple Chucky dolls and they all look slightly different. So I guess there are different iterations that are floating out there.
I see.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a deal breaker by me, by any chance. And I mean, you know, like good old fashioned horror, these death scenes get really fucking gruesome. And I actually have a favorite.
Do you
the one that made me really go like, oh my God. So spoiler, we're going to talk about the deaths here. But that fucking poor housemaid.
Oh, yeah.
That was rough.
That was really a rough one.
And that was an effective one, you know, because it literally made me, because the dad one was this whole theatrical, you know, beautiful thing. And I'm like, that's cool. But that one was so fast, so simple. And it was disgusting.
Your choice of wording here, phrasing is just like, that was beautiful. That was cool. He's getting electrocuted.
Well, I mean, you know, they shot it really artistically.
They did. I agree with you. Like using the flashes there were, and then like the little doll moving around to great effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And having him lurking in the background or like, you know, having his shadow or his reflection appear, you know, that's always a nice touch. So, yeah. But I also, how do we feel about the real villains here? Who is Lexi and maybe even his cousin?
I think the real villain right now is going to prove to be Lexi, is who's being set up to be the real villain. Again, I don't obviously condone like murder. They're really, and I don't think, I don't.
That's good. I'm glad you don't.
I can't imagine that the show is trying to make us condone her death. I think it's actually trying to make us question, like, think about it. It's like, why do you want, like, what is the correct solution here? Because at the end of the day, she does need, there needs to be some price that she pays. I don't think it's death. Right. I'm not a corporal punishment kind of person, but she is a horrible person and she kind of needs to have a come to Jesus moment.
There was a great though thing where we started to see her home life and we saw the relationship that she has at home. Now, even though it wasn't immediately like this, oh, this child is abused or something, neglected, but she kind of is. I mean, she's more like
emotionally,
you know,
neglected,
fuck
I guess,
you. But. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you know, her parents, they pretty much don't value her at all.
Yeah, but
you
like
know, they'll take somebody else's side against hers. You know, they value the other daughter a little bit more.
Yeah, because she's like a
savant. But at the same time, she's a spoiled piece of shit, right? So it's like, I wish that that was the thing. They had this great opportunity to be like, she herself is a victim, right? And that commentary on bullying, that if you don't address it and you let things go out of control, it becomes a monster. So she herself can be that monster of bullying, that she's now going out doing the same thing that happened to her. And that's what happens with abuse.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that effectively because she just came off as a spoiled brat.
She is kind of a spoiled brat with her parents, but I guess her redeeming quality is the way she does still nurture her younger sister.
That is another redeeming quality.
Right?
I guess,
like,
yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. They showed that she's a human being who's fucking flawed, and she's also a fucking child at the end of the day.
I mean, they're all children. Yeah, that's
all children. Yeah, and so it's like, yeah, she's a horrible person, but she's also a child who, you know, was as a product of her parenting and stuff. But that opportunity of us to see the way that she is because of her parents, I think was a bit of an opportunity missed, because it didn't really come off as that she herself is a victim. Mm-hmm. She more so seemed like just, you know, spoiled brat.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, it's interesting because at the end of the day, you know, the show kind of raises the question too, where it's like, well, you know, at the end, acceptance and communication and nurturing can make sure that none of this shit fucking happens. Mm-hmm. And nobody in this world is doing that, you know? So it's like, it's really cliche, but at the end of the day, communicate and nurture and understand people for who they are. And you won't have a bunch of serial killers or horrible people, you know, bullying each other around. Like, it's really as simple as that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I gotta say, Nicole, I'm impressed with the dialogue here. I thought this was going to be like a very short episode and you were just going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they made this. And here we are having like Chucky, what deep insights can we collect from this TV show?
Well, you know, Don Mancini's clever too, because it's like, how do I make something that actually tackles some important issues here and make it in something that people are going to want to see and people are going to have fun with?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the beauty of genre. And then when you have something as fun as horror and stuff, I do still think it raises the question, you know, what is the answer to bullying? But the series is not over, so we don't really know what it's saying. But, you know, from people who have just seen what they have, please don't take from it that the answer to bullying is more bullying.
Right, which I don't think is.
Yeah, I hope not.
You know, interestingly enough, so critically, Chucky, this show has actually gotten, like, rave reviews from critics. And the show actually, if I'm to believe their marketing, it is actually one of the highest rated premieres for a drama on TV, which I actually believe, because nowadays, like, a lot of people don't watch a lot of television anymore. And this has been getting like exclusive playership on two networks, right? It's on TBS and it's on Sci-Fi. And you can watch them on both.
That's interesting. Because according to my link here, on Sci-Fi, they had less than 500,000 people watch. So I guess those are big numbers these days.
Yeah, for cable, for basic cable, in total, it scared up 4.4 million viewers across USA and sci-fi. So I guess more people are watching USA than sci-fi.
More people are watching on sci-fi.
Oh, well, look at that.
According to my link. Well, actually, every episode is different. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Like, I'm talking about the... Oh, okay. That's including... All right. So that... I'm reading from the wrap. But that's including 1 week of delayed viewing, right? Because nowadays we have on demand. So that's how they're getting these figures. Which is so great.
That's how I watched it.
For cable and stuff, like, those are numbers that you want for a TV show. So I think good for Don Mancini, the queer horror filmmaker here, is just like, good, you go get them, you go gays, go us.
Well, you know, I applaud him for having him be so involved with his franchise as long as he has, because I think he was like 25 or 26 when he wrote the Child's Play screenplay, and he's been able to make a living off of this franchise. His
the
whole
dream,
life.
Right?
Isn't but, that- you know, yeah, yeah. He's introduced these themes that, you know, we're getting in this show as early as his film Seed of Chucky in 2004. And he's a bit of ahead of the curve. So now, like, the curve's kind of like, it's caught up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has now the opportunity to do the things that he's wanted to for a while in a really interesting and dynamic way. And when Rolando was telling me about this and pitching this episode to me a couple months back, I was like, oh, is this something that, you know, like, maybe they're going to use Chucky to pander to this community? But doing some research, it was actually really, really wonderful to see how, you know, one, he's a gay man who's actually interested in using these properties to say something like this, which is just interesting to me is all. So yeah, that was really nice and surprising.
I like it. I'm here for it. Because I had read, and I forgot when I watched the pilot, that this was the main character is going to be a gay kid, was actually something that I remember reading. And I was thinking, it's just like, oh, this could go either one of two ways, where it's just like, he's just like gay in name, right? But like, we're not going to see it being part of the story. He's just gay. You know what I mean? Like, he just says it one line. It's like, well, he has a pride flag. It's like, yeah, I'm a gay guy, but like, he still lives a pretty heteronormative life here. And then I'm so relieved to say we got quite the opposite, where it's just like, him being gay is actually kind of a big part of the story, where it comes from, like, him juggling his relationships, his crush with another male, because we don't know yet whether or not this other guy is gay or not. And we're seeing, obviously, like, the struggle that his father had with it. So we're just seeing a lot. And more importantly, we're just seeing Chucky become the gay defender here, which begs a question: is the world ready for Chucky, the gay icon? Nicole, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm not 100% convinced that Chucky is doing this as a gay defender. I think he's just using Jake to, you know, go about his own murderous desires. So Jake is more of a means to an end. Is the world ready for Chucky to be a gay icon? I think the world's been ready. Yeah. I think the world has been ready. Come on.
I'm glad. So what you just said to me sounds like Chucky is... It is like a company during Pride Month. It's just like, yeah, we're putting on the Pride flags, but they just want to make money during Pride Month. And then it's like, as soon as July 1st comes rolling around, they strip off all those flags and be like, whatever.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, okay, put up the Bastille Day decorations. You know? I mean, like, it's really just a means to an end for sure, you know?
Interesting. Eddie.
Chucky's agenda will never change. He doesn't discriminate. And that's the beautiful thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Eddie. What do you think? Is the world ready for Chucky, the gay icon?
I definitely like where this show is going. Chucky as a gay icon? I don't know. We had the Babadoosh as a gay icon for a little while.
We did have the Babadook for a Babadoosh.
Babadoosh. Oh, I love that.
Do you remember when, like, I mean, I think gays are still dressing up as the Babadook and going around Pride and stuff, but did you remember, like, some of the drag queen performances, drag queens dressing up as the Babadook and just doing their dances? It's wild. Now I'm dying to see, like, the gay community take Chucky and, like, kind of start doing, like, their dance. I want to see Chucky more at Pride. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
sure.
And I
want to see, like, a drag queen do a dance number as Tiff. You know what? Tiff is like, come on. Like, we got to show Tiff some love. I can't wait for Jennifer Tilly to come back on the show, because that character has gay icon written all over it. She's always in a wedding gown, wearing a leather jacket on top, her hair up to the heavens. I mean, you know, a drag queen can make that a look.
Her voice is just, you know.
That voice,
yep. Who doesn't love it? Who doesn't love it? And she was in Bound, a fun gay movie, so.
Oh, I've never seen that. I'll check it out.
Yeah, her Bound? And Gina Gershon as lovers. Aw, yeah.
I'll check it out.
Rolando, are you ready for Chucky to be a gay icon?
I mean, I wasn't until I saw the pilot at Comic-Con, and I even tweeted it because I was like, I was ready for it. I was just like, you know what? I'm ready for this. And yeah. I'm here for it.
So if you're ready for this, then did you think that this was needed?
Shockingly, when I first read about it, I thought, I was like, I don't know. It could be pandering. I don't think we need it. And yet here I am after watching. I'm just like, okay, the show has its flaws, but honestly, it is shockingly one of the most original things I have seen, though, which is weird for a revival, right? Because like how more original can you get? It's fucking Chucky on a TV show, and yet here we are. Just it feels fresh, it feels new,
yeah.
It feels different. So yeah, it was something that I didn't know I needed. What about you?
Yeah, actually, that's pretty much what I was gonna say. God damn it, you took the words out of my mouth. I didn't know that I didn't know what the hell I was gonna watch to begin with. So, and then I got it, and it was a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, tone down the music and the music video-y scenes, and you know, you got something that was absolutely really great. And this was definitely an interesting addition to the Chucky thing. You know, they're not going to ruin the franchise anytime soon. So no. Sure.
So yeah, I think good job, Don Mancini. I'm going to send out a tweet. Who knows? If we can get him on an episode to talk about the show when the season ends, I'll be like, fine. I feel like he would talk to us. We're gay. We're filmmakers. How can he not?
All right, cool.
Jennifer Tilly, I don't care. Somebody.
I would die if we had Jennifer Tilly on. That'd be so fucking cool.
Oh, that would be the coolest. We would have to be on Zoom, obviously.
Yeah, seriously. Right, I think we should do that one in person.
Yeah.
Now we're just fangirling.
Now we're just fangirling out. All right. Have you guys seen Chucky, the new series? If so, what are your thoughts on it? Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/remakes/reboots/revivals. You can also hit us up on Instagram, where we are the most active. Instagram handle remakes/reboots/revivals. And drop us an email. We love hearing from you guys. We actually got a lot of great feedback from Dune, which I don't know. I didn't think someone out of the three of us here did not think that we were going to get any good feedback from it. And yet here we are. We got lots of emails from you guys. We love it. Thank you. Email us. Our email is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. And you can also give us a call. Drop us a voicemail. Nicole, where can they call us?
Call us at 862-248-2326. Again, that number is 862-248-2326. And if you enjoy this podcast, find us on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review, and tell your friends about us because it really does help us grow. Or just, you know what, just reach out. We love you guys. We love to hear from you too.
We do. And Don Mancini, if you're listening to this, because I feel like you have Chucky on Google Alerts, so as soon as this shows up on your feed and you inevitably listen, you know, we have a great deal of respect for you. Come be on our show. This is my message to you. I hope it gets to your ears.
And on that note,
stay an original.